Good afternoon, my AOWs. Today, I have an incredible episode with my good friend Samara. She is blowing up on Instagram, has really taken her passion and her profession of psychology with her Portuguese audience and really, really spreading all of the amazing information and resources about midlife and menopause. Today, we have a great conversation about some actionable steps that you can do to improve your headspace. I love this conversation. I love this lady. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome to Health by Heather Hirsch, a podcast dedicated to uncovering many of the women's health issues many of us are wondering about, but few of us are talking about. My mission is to expose the current gaps in knowledge and care on all things women's health. Enjoy. I am so excited to have Samara back on the show. And I can't believe we were just talking about the fact that the last time you were on, I was pregnant.
Isn't that amazing how time flies?
Time is like a whole nother thing, and it's seeming to go faster for me. But I'm so excited. Last time you were on, I was kind of doing this menopause across the globe segment, because your population is Portuguese speaking Brazilian women. And, you know, so it was so fun to talk about that. And it's so fun to have you back.
It's an honor to be back, Heather. And it's, you know, I have been following you and read everything you write and can't wait until I have your book in my hand. So thank you so much for having me for the second time. It's always a pleasure. You're such an energetic woman and I like to be around.
Well, I feel like we're of the same kin because I'm looking at your Instagram blowing up. And the energy like pops out of the page. It's so amazing. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And I will link all of Sam's Instagram and website down below at this podcast, because we're probably going to talk about a lot of things that are referenced there. So May is Mental Health Month in the U.S. and we really wanted to talk today about mood disruptions or cognitive changes, ADHD, which happen during the perimenopause to menopause transition. And it's great to have an expert on. So first, tell my listeners a little bit about you, a little bit about what you do and the patients that you see and treat. And then I'm going to start asking you some questions.
Okay. Well, I'm Samara Irume. Yes, I'm Brazilian. I'm a Brazilian psychologist, and I focus my work in women and mental health. And I truly believe that the quality of your mental health will be directly related to the quality of your menopause. And I have my community and students, and I love working with women, and it's a blessing. You know, I left a career in the Silicon Valley because I thought it was my call to be working with and for women in this phase, because I don't want any woman to go through what I went, trying to discover what I had, and even when younger through infertility. So I think you have to own our own knowledge about ourselves, our body, and our minds.
Tell me a little bit about your journey and how that really brought you to this point of wanting to help other women and their mental health and alignment in this perimenopause to menopause transition.
Well, I had my perimenopause when I was 44. I'm 51 now, so it has been a while, this journey. And I remember going to a doctor in the US, and he just told me to not eat potato, not eat rice, and have vitamin D, and get used that I would get fat. And I was like, excuse me, I'm not going to do that. I deserve more.
Every time I hear this, like a part of me wants to say, like, did that really happen? Did he really say that?
He did. And was a very well-known doctor in Michigan. And I thought, wow, I have all this. I'm a very curious, I have high education and work with women, and how can I, me, I not know about menopause? So I start my own research, and I saw that I was not alone. Some of my friends, when I say, oh, you know, I'm in perimenopause, they're like, no, you're so young. And I think it makes it, nobody does that because they're not good friends, but they are not ready to talk about their whole aging process.
You
and
think?
Yeah, I think so. Because if I see you aging, that means the mirror. Wow.
I'm aging.
I'm aging too. And you have to open these conversations. You know, if you redefine aging, I remember my grandma, she died when she was 57. And if you look at her picture, she was really old, you know, like an old person, and she didn't have much mobility and all those things. But look at a woman at 57 now. I'm 51 and I play 3 hours of volleyball with
Get
the
it,
kid,
girl.
the 20 years old kids, and I'm, you know, and I'm happy. And it's not about how I look, it's how about I feel.
And you told me an incredible statistic about how many doctors women tend to go to. Shed some light on that.
Yes, that really struck me that women go about 6 to 10 doctors until they find the right treatment. I
Six
just
to ten.
wonder, it's heartbroken, because imagine how many women stay in the middle and never find the right treatment, or they think something is wrong with them. And the impact, not just for these women, but for their families, their communities. If we really give the right treatment and the opportunity for these women to decide, okay, not every woman will want to do hormonal therapy, but they need to know about it. They need to do an informative decision about what is best for them and really understand the risks. But when you are just afraid, women have so much fear about hormonal therapy, but we are inheriting it from a phase, I think the last 2 decades, that doctors and medicine schools were not teaching about it. And we need to take our, well, we are doing that, right, Heather? We are talking out and about, because
taking matters into our own hands.
Exactly.
You know, I'd love to ask you, as a mental health professional, for the patients that you see who choose HRT, we know, well, currently, as of the FDA, hormone therapy is not FDA approved for mood disruptions. However, lots of research is pointing to the fact, particularly estrogen and perimenopause can be very beneficial. And I see it clinically all the time. What do you think is happening to the brain? Do you think it should be FDA approved for mood disruptions? What do you think is going on there?
I totally agree, Jude. I think, as always, we need more research for women's brain. We have Dr. Lisa Mosconi, who has been doing an amazing job studying the women's brain, but it's relatively new. And even if you see, we have every 3 patients with Alzheimer's, 2 are women. And recently, Dr. Lisa was able to relate that to menopause as the first cause. So we need to understand more about women's brain, but also that American Menopause Society points out that women in menopause have a higher tendency of depression. And in Australia, I know they have a scale of menopausal depression. And sometimes people say, oh, I have those depression medications. They have it for years without reevaluating. And sometimes they still depressed because it's not really a chemical in their brain that makes them depressed. But sometimes with hormonal therapy, I have seen this in my practice, they get so much better. because, you know, and also in lifestyle changes, we know
Yeah,
it's
let's talk about
more
that.
serotonin for to naturally battle depression. You know, the serotonin, the feel good, the hormone, and it's 90% is made in our guts. So if you are not exercising, if you are depressed, if you are not eating right, so what's the tendency? That you exercise less, that you eat, you put some ice cream on top of your emotions, and that you have you more inflamed and you produce less serotonin. So we need to think these women as a whole. I mean, we looking at these women and understanding that it's not just depression. Let's understand, is she, how is she in her marriage or in her career, their relationships, and understand why this symptom was elected.
That's so important, the holistic approach and thinking about it, because all of these things happen, not necessarily that one causes one, like a domino. They're a little bit of that, but then it almost like keeps going. It's a cycle, right?
Exactly.
Just like you said, if you're not sleeping, you don't really want to exercise. When you don't want to exercise, you feel bad. When you feel bad, you emotionally eat, and we all do. And then, you're still getting poor sleep because you've got, so much sugar and your melatonin's, maybe irregulated because you're not blah, 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 blah. So how do you help your patients? Where do you pick apart like of that cycle? When you start with like, your clients, and you're talking about lifestyle, because I think this is great because these are actionable steps that my listeners can kind of take. Where do you start to sort of say like, what habits the first to change? Is it individual? Is it what do you like to do to get people out of the cycle?
Yes, that's a great question, Heather. Because sometimes you feel, we were talking about hope before I start recording, and sometimes women feel like, when am I feel like I'm myself again? And you can, but we have to be very kind to ourselves. The first step I like to do with my patients and also with my students, I have a program, Brilliant Minds in Menopause. It's
Amazing.
self-compassion. You need to understand, hello, I got here. Look at everything I have conquered in my life. And sometimes women say, oh, but I should have more. Let's, you know, reset your mind and let's appreciate yourself for just being here, for being a survivor, you know. And so, one, self-compassion, and sometimes I work with meditation, self-compassion. And then we have to go right away to action. You don't have time to spend on what is the perfect thing I will do. No, if you don't exercise, I had a patient that she was so, the her anxiety was so severe that I remember we went on the phone together. She went to the front door. You know, she lived in an apartment. She had to go through the elevator and go to the front door and say hello to to the receptionist, because, and that was dopamine right there in her mind. You need to do small steps guided and in sequency. It's not that you're gonna run a marathon tomorrow, but that we'll be consistently doing small steps and feeding. I think it's biology. We change when you change our mind and we start doing things that we have the right reward, like this. You conquer, you went through the front door, you put a dose of dopamine. Okay. If you exercise, and sometimes I tell to my students, in the morning, I do every day, 100 days. So every day they got one single step. Today, you're gonna take a shower right away when you get up. And at the end of the shower, cold water. I'm in Canada, I imagine that.
Oh my gosh.
But neuroscientists have found that dopamine increases 2.5 times when you have cold shower. So it's not that you're gonna tomorrow I'm gonna immerse myself for 3 minutes in cold water. No, I'm not asking you that. At the end of your shower in the morning, you're gonna do that, you know, and then you have dopamine that lasts for about 5 hours.
Wait a second. So this is why I've been seeing everyone do like these cold plunges and stuff. Is it for, it's for mood benefits mostly? I'm sure there's other, but for mood, right?
It
You're
really
saying.
activates your brain in a way that you get, you know, you put your own biology in your favor instead of, but you know, I'm living in Canada, so I don't take those cold showers yet. I'm
Do
always
as I
like, okay,
say.
one day I'll put ice on my shower, on my bath.
That is fascinating, though. Because it all you gotta do is you don't have to fill a tub. You just have to turn it, a little bit. I'm still stuck on this because I feel like it activates my flight or fight response. I'm like,
But you know how I do, because I live in Canada and winters can be very severe here. I put a song that I like, and then I start turning slowly, and then at the end I even yell. I'm like, so I take it out of my system, and my whole family knows, okay, mommy's having a happy shower.
Oh my gosh. Keep telling me more. This is really, what are these other quick wins that you kind of have with this sort of dopamine release neurobiology? I love this.
Oh, I think the first one is Dr. Andrew Huberman from Stanford. He has studying about the sunlight in the morning. And because we need to work in our circadian cycle or rhythm, and one of the, I'd say, the silent symptoms in menopause is sleep. And women don't notice because it comes one day, you don't sleep so well. Then women start waking up at 3 a.m. And imagine the next day if this woman wants to be on her brightest. And sometimes say, oh, it's brain fog, it's all menopause. But let's see how lifestyle also is making it harder for this woman. So if you can get up in the morning and go to the sunlight, if you know, I do yoga, so I do some sunlight, you know, salutations, but you can just go, and if you could stay from 10 minutes in the sun, or if it's a foggy day, 20 to 30 minutes outside, it also helps you to regulate, and your body, you say, oh, it's time for the good cortisol to be up. So we talk about cortisol like if it's an enemy, but if you activate the right one, it's for our benefit, because then your body, you understand, it's morning, it's time to do things that you make me happy.
Okay. One more before we move on to
Okay.
brain fog and ADHD, because I want to ask about that too. How do you, asking for a friend, totally for a friend, how do you get your patients to shut down at night and unwind at night? I think a lot of us, okay, it's me, I'm the friend. A lot of us like to stay up because we feel like I've done everything for everyone all day,
All
all in
day.
bed. This is my time to binge Succession or TikTok or whatever it is that I want to do, and I don't want to stop because I'm getting that dopamine. It's now 11:30, and should I play the next episode? Okay, so how do you
And they
what
always let you
a
hook for
hook
the
so
next one.
bad? So like, what are some tips on getting women to maybe for me, I like to try to reorient myself to say, like, why don't you give yourself that time in the morning? Because I think it's actually much better spent. But how can you reorient someone who's kind of becoming a night owl and the sleep is sort of really sucking because of that? How can you reorient?
Well, I love this question, because we are so, even the way you told me this story tells us what happens with us women. We are wired to be taking care of everything. But, and then at night it was like, okay, now I want to sleep better. Okay, I should read, I should, you know, take a bath. But then your brain is too wired. We need some time to slow down. I remember my daughter, when she was a baby, we had a book that was the rough translation, but was the house is sleeping, the sleepy house would be. And we need to turn our environment with sleepy house. You need to go after 9 is lower, but it starts in the morning. If you want to sleep well at night, it starts in the morning with sunlight once you get up. Once you get up, don't turn your phone again. Like, oh, the alarm went down. In Portuguese, we have a very fun thing that to say, we call the despertador. That would be desperta. Dor is like we wake up the pain. That is the name of the alarm in Portuguese. It's like, no, reset that. If you wake up and naturally, let's say at 5 or at 7, don't try to turn around and sleep 5 more minutes. That's like playing
Russian
roulette,
roulette, sleep
Russian
Russian
roulette.
roulette. I do that all
You're
the time.
gonna, your body was ready to wake up. So, wake up, do some stretches, if maybe see the sunrise. And then at night, you'll be more tired to sleep. But it's your own cycle, respect your cycle. But what we do is like, oh, 10 more minutes. And then our cortisol that was ready to rise, it starts, oh, no. So we need to respect our body and do things. One of the things that really changed for me, Heather, and I try to teach my patients, is if I want to eat this or if I want to do this, is this good for my brain? We need to start
Reframe.
learning to take care of our brain. So, and also, I know for some people it's very hard to think about meditation, but do active meditation, when you are walking or you are doing the dishes. Nice music.
Yeah,
Try
put
to.
the AirPods in. I like to do
Exactly.
I go to my Spotify and I just put like yoga music. I'll just type in yoga music and it's kind of that zenful kind of like humming. And you're right. We don't have to, perfectly meditate. It's probably best not to multitask, but also if you can do it while you're doing a mundane chore, I love that idea.
And I have the best of the connections I have with myself is when I'm running, and when I feel I'm on the zone, or even walking with my dog, when I feel I'm on the zone, I just turn off the sound and let my thoughts. And then, of course, bad things will come. It's like, oh my gosh, you have, are you good enough? Are you? And you say, like, yeah, let it go. I say, like a cloud, let them go. Just don't engage with them. And we need to relearn how not to engage with this criticism voice that tells us, other women, my friend is having a better menopause, or look at her. Oh my gosh, she's so successful. You don't know what she's going through. You don't know. And sometimes you could listen more to other women so they can open up and not feel always to be on this mode, the successful mode. I tell my patients, you don't have to be on the successful mode 24/7. You can be vulnerable too, and tell your family that you need them too.
I like now have my days where I'm like, I just need to cry. I like Firefly Lane is a great show on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
It's about friendship, and it's just a great one to just kind of cry to and have your moment where, even though I like to do my manifestations and affirmations, sometimes you also it's okay to give yourself that time to just let yourself be imperfect and feel your emotions. The last thing I wanted to ask you about was cognitive changes. A lot of women experience trouble focusing. Maybe they have a subclinical diagnosis of ADHD or oh, I've even diagnosed women in menopause and midlife with ADHD for the first time. What do you think about, you know, how common is this? What can patients do to not be scared? I mean, certainly getting tested and talking to a doctor, but what do you see when patients come to you with these complaints?
Well, ADHD has been the trend now, right? Mm, yeah. So many women, they see, oh, that's what I had my whole life and I didn't get a diagnosed. And in many cases, it will be true. But I'm just concerned that women see that their friends or they see on the media people being receiving this diagnosis, and then they think, oh, that's me. Mm-hmm. We should really take care of having a very good evaluation. Mm-hmm. If that's the case. But mm-hmm. also what I noticed with my patients, and some of them came right away, I have ADHD and what should I do now? And mm-hmm. then when we talk, I like to work with other doctors, you mm-hmm. know, with their, and see how is the hormonal therapy. And once they get it right, in many occasions, it goes away. But also training the mind, you know, the small steps you mm-hmm. have to, even if you, I think we all have, if you're a woman, we all have some level of ADHD because we're so trained to take care of everything. And everybody.
Yep.
And it's not just us. It's not like, oh, you want to rule the world. It's not that. Our grandmothers were like that, our mothers, generations of women, and it's mm-hmm. in our DNA. Mm-hmm. We feel that is our space to our place to be yep. taking care of everybody. So yeah. we need to also understand that we need to rest sometimes in yep. our brain.
I know. Tell me, you know, I on a serious note, I have been interviewed lately, and we know that for Caucasian women in the U.S., mm-hmm. suicide rates are actually highest among women 45 to 55. And, mm-hmm. you know, these mood disruptions and mood changes are very, very serious. And we've mm-hmm. seen people lose their lives. You know, what are the red flags if someone really needs to see a clinician sooner mm-hmm. rather than later?
I believe, first of all, if you are already not feeling well or not feeling yourself, you should take it seriously. And sometimes women in menopause, they have suicidal thoughts, mm-hmm. but they think, but that will pass. Or I'll have an antidepressant and it will pass. But sometimes it doesn't pass. Or sometimes they are, if you also see the statistics for divorce, it's also when women start on the transition of menopause.
Yeah.
So many, many times the women think, it's me. Yeah. I have to just be stronger. And I think the suicide comes when you have been strong for so long that you can no longer keep doing what you're doing. And it's time for us to ask for help and to listen to our friends. Sometimes, and I know it myself, during the pandemic, Heather, I have so many friends that we could not visit each other. So it's like, oh, let me say Maria, you know, let's say Maria didn't call me. Oh, but I'll call her. Oh, but last time I call her. So I won't call her. I'll wait for her to call me. But we don't know. I know from experience mm-hmm. that when people are the vulnerable the most is when they don't reach for help.
Yeah, that's so true.
So we also should reach out. And also that friend that looks always happy, reach out and also look at her eyes and ask, is everything okay?
Yeah.
And wait. She doesn't have to tell you anything. But knowing that somebody cares enough to ask and look in her eyes and know that you have time and space in case if she's not okay.
I love that. I, lost a patient after I left the Brigham. It was very difficult. And I think everything that you've been able to offer today for this show is so tangible. something that everyone can do, you know, right mm-hmm. away, whether it's looking out for themselves or looking out for a good friend. I am one of those people that I do not reach out for help. And a lot of women don't, because that's a societal mm-hmm. thing. We're going to just take it on it all and do it all ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we ask for help, we're weak, or we don't know what we're doing. We don't want to look stupid or silly, but mm-hmm. you know, girlfriends are so important. Partnerships are, and children are, but nothing replaces friendships. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's so valuable.
Yes, that is a study from Harvard that has been going on for 80 years about happiness. The most important thing is friendship. People mm-hmm. who have quality relationships, and quality relationships is not that everything is perfect. And let me tell you, Heather, I think myself as a strong woman, and you too. Oh my goodness, I'm so proud of you. But I want you, we have more difficulty because sometimes our friends, they relate to us in a way, and I want everybody to listen to that, because I think women who are listening to this podcast are already above the curve. Mm-hmm. They are already taking care of themselves
yeah.
and are mostly strong women. So
yeah.
sometimes people, you know, we relate in a way that we put people on boxes.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you cry, people don't know what to do with you because they don't know what to do with their own suffering. Mm-hmm. And yeah. we need to do that, you know, to allow ourselves to also be vulnerable and to say, my mom died last February. November.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So it was very recently when was my birthday, and my husband wanted to throw a party for me, and everything was nice. And at the morning of the party, I just sent a message to everybody and say, I am so sorry. And I remember being on the phone and thinking, do I create an excuse?
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. I have a cold,
COVID.
Or I have, you know, I have a fever. And then I say, I need to reschedule for my mental health.
Yeah.
You know, but that took me, and I was like, oh my goodness, if it was so difficult for me who work with
mental health,
imagine. We never want to people to know that we are vulnerable. But if they are my friends,
yeah,
and I love them enough to have on my birthday, and they came to me and they gave me love and gave me acceptance.
Yeah.
But we have to give the first step sometimes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for such a good conversation about mental health, midlife, menopause, women, actionable steps, what we can do, the neurobiology. Turn that cold shower on, ladies. The cold shower challenge. I appreciate how much you are doing. I love that, like, seeing you almost 2 years later, I don't remember when we last mm-hmm. got to talk, but how much your community has grown. You've got a course, you've got a podcast yourself. It's so amazing. And thank you for all you do. You know, it's so nice to have these voices. It's so nice to have you on my show, and I can't hopefully get to be on yours.
Oh, you'll be my first guest.
And I just really appreciate you taking the time to educate my community and be on the show and just be such a great friend and supporter. I just appreciate you so much. And thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me anytime, you know. It's a pleasure. And I'm an admirer of your work. And we need to bring you to Brazil.
Yes.
Portuguese.
We're going to have a conference in Boston and then get on a plane and go do it in Brazil. Done.
Okay. Let's do it, girl. What's stopping us, right?
Not
ourselves.
Thank you guys so much for listening in. Thank you guys so much for being in my army of women. We cannot do this alone. And reach out to your friend if you haven't in a while. I'll see you guys next week for a brand new episode. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye, Jamal.
If I haven't already done so, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Also, if you love the show, your stars or a quick review could really help other women who are searching for information on menopause and midlife around the globe find this show. If you want to work with me, consider the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. The link for that is in the description to this show. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for all your support, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode.